This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Tonight, boy, we have a lot to talk about, including now Pence being grilled about Michael Flynn and what questions he knew. What did the vice president know? And then there's a Republican senator who wrote a check to Roy Moore's Democratic opponent. Wow. I'll tell you what, and guess who that is? We're going to tell you in just a second. All kinds of updates, all kinds of interesting, fascinating things happening across America. As usual, we're at the crossroads of all of it, including, sadly, a place that was near and dear to my heart, on fire, and that's where we're going to start. We talk about Mother Nature and how wicked Mother Nature can be. Wildfires are spreading in California. The latest there is in Ventura. They are really trying to get out of the way. In Ojai, just awful what's happening with the swell. 11,000 acres is what they're saying now, and the evac orders are all over the place. They're not taking any chances with this, and we know in California this can happen, but the Creek Fire in L.A. jumped to 11,000, like I just said, and it's not contained, and there's been these mandatory evacuations, thank goodness, because that's what has to happen. But it's California in Malibu, people waking up to smoky sunrise because there was smoke everywhere. And when you think of these firefighters, man, thank goodness for firefighters because of what they do and how many risks they take. The Santa Barbara County Fire Department took some video that I saw, and it just blew me away. As somebody who used to live there, you know, I've talked about that before and covered these fires, I know what that's like when they jump the highway, etc. And I'll tell you, it's pretty bad. This fire working its way up Ventura, really, really bad stuff. And with the winds, the Santa Ana winds are awful. I wish the people there the very best in containing this, getting out of there, and to all those firefighters and all the people that are running to try to help. Let's jump into politics here for a second. I got this today from a couple of different people, actually, that I woke up to. They were sending me notes about, did I see this, about the money that Jeff Flake sent to the opponent of Roy Moore's, which would be Doug Jones, for the U.S. Senate, $100. So Republican Senator Jeff Flake, who's been opposed to the Republican Alabama Senate hopeful Moore, you know, they posted a photo check with a signature on it that was addressed to the rival. Flake's Twitter account posted the image, actually, and it said country over party. So he wasn't surprised by this, if you will, but the Arizona Republican, who announced he's not running for re-election, attended a meeting with Donald Trump and other Republican senators at the White House early on Tuesday, where he was actually seated next to the president despite his well-known dour expression for Trump and disdain for him. So that had to be an interesting few moments, if you think about it. But Flake, of course, like I just said, is not running again, so he kind of threw it out there that, yeah, this is what I'm doing. It's about the country for me. Meanwhile, we turn to what's going on with Michael Flynn and Vice President Pence. There's been some questions. So this Russian investigation says, you know, what's kind of coming out of that, I guess I shouldn't say kind of, but what is being questioned is, what did Pence know? So there's some new revelations about Flynn's lies to the FBI that are kind of exposing the VP, when it saying that he was, you know, was he in the dark or was he not in the dark when all this was happening? And, you know, with the whole Russian election meddling, it's raising a lot of questions, and it sounds like he was left in the dark. So advisors have insisted that he was unaware that Michael Flynn spoke to the then Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak about a new set of sanctions on the day they were announced last December, because remember, this is the big issue, that these court filings that were unsealed last week, though, paired new details about Trump's own knowledge of the events, including a wide circle of advisors who are aware that Flynn raised the issue when he spoke to the envoy, the Moscow envoy, by phone, if you will, even as Pence was in the dark. So what did he know? What didn't he know? Because remember, Pence was in charge of the transition. He knew Flynn had contacted Russia, but was unaware of the sanctions discussion, supposedly. And obviously, they're preparing for an interview, but, you know, sharing the transition, he was handling other things, and he didn't have the knowledge of it. So here's what I would say. If you look at the former Indiana governor, and he's the most politically experienced of all of the Trump administrative types, of course, if he's not in the middle of this and he's oblivious to this, it's interesting because they're questioning it. Some of what I've read, people are questioning it, but you're saying, well, okay, so if he was unaware of it, then what does that mean? That means he's not going down, because there's been some talk of what would happen with the son-in-law, Jared Kushner. What did he know? I mean, bottom line is this. Flynn is in the soup. He's in the middle of this, and who around the president knew and what happened, who's going where, is the wait and see reveal to us when the investigation leaks something out. Until then, we're throwing darts at a board, and we're reading things into things, or we're completely out of the realm of what really happened, and let's see what the rest of this investigation turns up. I'll be curious. Let's just put it that way. All right, in the meantime, how about this? I've got to go to the lighter fare, right? So we want to touch on something light. And what is something light? Starbucks is everywhere, man. I'll tell you what, Howard Schultz may be one of the most brilliant CEOs, owners of all time in business. So the Seattle-based coffee company, easy for me to say, opened a 30,000-square-foot store in Shanghai on Tuesday. First Starbucks Reserve Roastery, they're calling it, the company's new retail offering outside the U.S. It's also the largest Starbucks in the world. So think about this. Can you believe it? The executive chair, Howard Schultz, is saying that the company's 46-year history in the coffee shop business with China's rich, diverse culture makes this incredibly interesting. It does make it incredibly interesting. And you can imagine that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to go check out that Starbucks. It's huge. And, of course, they're going to have the other offerings, too. And this isn't a commercial for Starbucks. But, boy, it's just interesting what a big bet they're taking on China and probably how it pays off. Because just like in the United States, there are just companies and brands that transcend. And this is a brand that transcends, right? It does. So that's why they're in the situation that they're in, where they continue to grow and ebb and flow with whatever's happening in the economy, but also what's going on in the world. And since we're on the whole branding thing, and it's a weird place to start at the beginning, but I want to start there. How about this? A net Flick-like subscription plan is happening. A theater chain is doing it. And that's maybe smart, because Cinemark on Tuesday unveiled the Movie Club. It's a monthly plan that lets people buy a movie ticket a month for a discounted price. It also allows members to roll over unused tickets every month, bring friends at lower prices, and then they got all kinds of bargains on the concession stand. I think it's smart. I think it's smart because, if you remember, we had on Cinemark's, the guy who was in charge of Cinemark's marketing, his name escapes me, but we talked about what can you do bigger, badder, better to get people into the theaters, and it's pricing. So by having a discounted price of $8.99, that may prompt some more people to go to the movies, and cheaper concessions, they kill you at the concessions. Food for thought, since we do our cheap movie review coming up at the end of the week. All right, stay through. We've got more coming your way next on ATN.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors
cares for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel, and you'll love the way they look. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to relax a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. Plus, you don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
He is so funny, and he's hard at work on Kevin James' new series that's coming out, and it's getting a lot of publicity now. I just saw a blurb a couple of weeks ago in USA Today about that. So, Michael, first of all, welcome, and we'd be remiss not to ask you about that, because when we last left you, you pulled up stakes and left the West Coast to go to New York. What's it been like working on this series with Kevin?
It's been pretty awesome. I tell you what, I'm living in Long Island now, which is like the most patriotic community I have ever seen in my life. It's crazy. It's the best. It's like old school Americana. So I'm really digging it. And then I'm going to be moving my show, The Flip Side, to the East Coast as well. So that's been a boatload of fun. It's weird. Like every season on The Flip Side, season one was Dallas, season two was L.A., and now season three is New York. So maybe I'll do Paris or London next year.
Nice. Good for you. That's exciting. So while all that's going on, I know you pay attention to what happens in the comedy world in general with comics and with late night guys slash comedians. And Larry Wilmore, we talked about him and of course, the big correspondence dinner that he did. And now Larry Wilmore is signing off at Comedy Central, not by choice. Comedy Central is dropping him. Are you surprised by that or no?
Not really. I mean, I've always thought, like, half the country is Republican, half the country is Democrat, pretty much. Those, like, don't quote me on that, but it's just a rough guess. There's like 7 full-time comedy shows that make fun of the right. Not all of them can succeed. I mean, God bless Larry Wilmore. I hear he's a very nice and a very funny guy. But at some point, you can't have 7 shows on the air that all do the same thing. Like, oh, I'm going to tune in and get my laughs about the stupid Republicans from Samantha Bee and The Daily Show and John Oliver and Bill Maher and Larry Wilmore. And it just, like, the list can't just go on forever. So he had to go bye-bye.
And, you know, some people are talking about Wilmore and saying it. And I think what you say is dead on, that there's a saturation point, and so only a few are going to rise to the top, and the rest maybe make it in the middle, and the others would eventually get dumped off. But what's been going on is some of this backlash saying that, oh, it's because of, you know, it's the whole he's black and what he had to say at the dinner, and it was just terrible. But that's not really it, is it?
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to get wrapped up in a giant big bow of it was too brave. America wasn't ready for a show that was just ready to look and talk about race issues and political, like, he was ahead of his time. That's what'll be the thing. Now, and this is the horrible thing to say, had that been a white guy on there, it would have been outrageous. Like, finally, the show gets canceled. He leaves in disgrace. I mean, there's just such a double standard. It's beyond ridiculous. But I want to celebrate brave Larry Wilmore and his super brave show. And he'll be back. He actually is. So I'm going to tell you something, the truth here. Like, that dude has a stellar reputation as a phenomenal writer and comedian. So Larry Wilmore will be back.
And isn't that the whole thing about comedy? Comedians have friends, and friends help friends. And if you're a good guy, good chick, you know, good pal, and you do what you can do, you can find gigs.
Absolutely, yeah. Be funny. Be funny first, and it's amazing. If you're a good human being, you're always going to have friends. If you're a bad human being, you're not supposed to have, unless you're Hillary Clinton. Then you can just buy them.
Oh, I like that. Ooh, there's that dig. be funny first. I love that. Be funny first. I mean, that's kind of a good question. I've had people say to me, I've dabbled a little bit in stand-up very weakly, but occasionally I'm funny, Michael. But here's the thing. People always say, well, how did you get funny? How do you get funny? Do you think it's something like for you? Is it something you're born with? You have a natural affinity for making people laugh, or no? Can you grow it?
Well, I think there's both sides. Like me, I'm Irish Catholic family, youngest of five kids. Mine, literally, I've thought about it, and mine is just a desperate cry for attention. It really is. Look at me. But other people, like some people are genetically born with, they have that gift of timing, and other people, it can be learned. Everybody is funny. Everybody is funny. It's just how often they're funny is the big difference.
I love that. Everybody is funny. Oh, by the way, we share that. I'm from an Irish Catholic family too, and I think you're right. I mean, here's the question: when you're a kid and you have to do the whole confession thing, did you say the same thing over and over again? I broke my mother's plate.
Yeah, I had my standard go-to one. The worst is when it's, like, for real, and you haven't been in a long time. Like, you haven't been in a super long time, and you're like, oh, my Lord, I got a bunch here. I'm so glad this is anonymous.
But here's the key thing. Do you remember the prayers? Okay, like, I was just praying. Just say Hail Marys, because I got that memorized.
Yeah.
Forget the rest, right?
Yeah. I'm not even worried about the number. But it's really weird how it is, like, cathartic. Like, it works. I would recommend you feel so much better, whether it's real, whether it's fake. I totally believe in the power of confession. I don't you feel so much better when you leave. You're like, woo.
Yeah, there is something about that. The unburdening, right?
Yeah, that guy knows. I'm still walking around on planet Earth. I've been struck by lightning. I guess it's all going to work out.
Exactly. I think there's a bit in this. So maybe we've written
a bit. I'm writing it as we speak.
I love it. I know you're busy. You're shooting and you're working on the Kevin James deal, and we can't wait to see that. Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And, yeah, we're on CBS this fall. It's going to be super funny. I'm very, very happy with the way this show's going.
Cool. Can't wait to see it. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Go Tribe.
Love it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a funny guy Michael is, you know, talking about he's definitely one of the busier performers, writers in the comedy world. And he mentioned it. He's the host of The Flip Side with Michael Loftus and The Loftus Party on radio, too. And he just has that timing. I love what he just spread for all of you to hear. Be funny first. And everybody is funny. It's just a matter of, you know, how often you're funny. I don't know. Have you met people, if you're listening to me, have you met people that just are not funny? You've never seen anything out of them that's remotely funny? Or maybe there's something funny there, but you just haven't seen it. So if you don't know The Flip Side, and this is how we found Michael, what the Flip Side is about, it's kind of like what I say on ATM. It's the other side of the news. So mixing in what's happening, the kind of that topical humor, obviously. He's got that stand-up in him and really kind of mixes it up. And his background is stand-up comedy. He's a veteran stand-up comedian, but he's also worked in TV for a lot of years. That's why he got this thing with Kevin James, as he said, it's coming up in the fall on CBS, but he worked with Charlie Sheen. There's a punchline every minute, right? But he said Charlie Sheen, and just in general, his family was incredible. If you ever watched Anger Management, if you ever watched that show, a lot of that came from the head of Michael Loftus and the rest of the comedy team that was there, of course, because it wasn't just him alone. No man is an island, or no man is funny unto himself, right? Writing all those lines. And then he also worked on George Lopez's show too for ABC, and the George Lopez show, boy, there was some really funny moments that I can remember in George's show. And of course, as I said, you know, the true test or testament to Michael is where he started, got his chops, and it was doing that stand-up comedy on Comedy Central. He's had, you know, full hour specials on Comedy Central and also on True TV's The Smoking Gun Presents, and there's some really funny stuff there, because I know when we've had him on before, a lot of you have asked me, oh, how do I find Michael? Where do I find him? And his website's pretty easy, theloftusparty.com, and that's L-O-F-T-U-S, loftusparty.com. You can find his stuff there, and of course, he is very, very tweetable, and his handle is, his Twitter handle, kind of like in the old days when they had truckers, what's your handle? At Michael Loftus Comic. At Michael Loftus Comic. All right, hang with us. Speaking of The Flip Side, I'll meet you there.
The lights falling down, rainbow bumps sound, it's streaming across my eyes.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said,
"Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?"
And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, I don't know about you, but I am a huge fan of the romance novel. My mother was a voracious reader, and after she passed away and we were cleaning out her place, I found underneath her bed stacks and stacks of romance novels. And this woman was brilliant. I mean, she was so, so smart. And I thought it was so cool that she also, besides reading all these heavy books about biographies, etc., that she had this passion for romance. And I think it's very cool that we have romance novelist Lauren Smith with us, and she has written a ton of books. But what's really, really cool about her too, she has a secret. She's a lawyer by day and a fantasy novelist by night. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So when I say lawyer by day, and then you're this fantasy novelist by night, tell us about that. That's intriguing.
Well, you know, it's funny. It was like you were talking about with your mother and romance novels. I had never read a romance novel until I was in law school. Law school is such a grueling, stressful process, and I just remember thinking I needed a way to escape, and I was a big reader, and I'd been writing since the third grade, and one of my friends said, "You know, you write love stories. Have you ever read a romance?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, no, I don't read that stuff."
That's, yeah, I would never read that, right? Romance
right.
novels, I'm not going to do that.
I'm too good for that. And then I started reading them, and I was blown away by the writing, the quality of the stories, the research that the writers put in. And what I really loved was that love stories aren't cheesy. They aren't cliche. They're about characters overcoming obstacles to be together and solving problems. And I just was astounded that I thought this genre has such a bad rap and the stories are so captivating and wonderful. And I thought, I want to write that. And so I survived law school by reading romances and writing romances, and then it just kind of took off, and it became this kind of way to survive the stresses of being a lawyer, because during the day, you know, I would be, you know, stuck in court all day, and I would kind of just, you know, in between my cases on the dockets, I would pull out my notebook and just kind of write a few pages here or there, and it just kind of calmed me down and kind of helped me find my zen.
Were you ever in writing in those stolen moments during your day job as a lawyer, kind of weaving the judge or the bailiff or the other attorneys or the defendants into your stories in any way?
You know, I was tempted. I think what a lot of people ask me is, you know, do you ever consider writing legal thrillers? And I've thought about it, but the thing is you have to really know something well to write it. And I think if I tried to write something really legal or have a lot of legal connections to my lawyer past, it would be really difficult to get it just right. I think, you know, John Grisham and those other attorneys, David Baldacci, what they do is so difficult, because I think other lawyers, when you read the books, my father's a lawyer too, and we read them and we think, oh, you know, they messed up on this little part, or they should have done this in this case, you know. And so I've steered away from that, and I try not to let anybody that I've met in real life kind of color my writing as far as characters, although I have had some amazing experiences that I thought someday, 20 years down the road when it's safe, I'm like, I might write some memoirs off of the things that I've seen in court over the years.
We're talking with Lauren Smith. Her website, by the way, is Lauren Smith Books. It's L-A-U-R-E-N Smith, S-M-I-T-H books.com, laurensmithbooks.com. She's a romance novelist, and you mentioned a law career as being in the past, so you're no longer working as a lawyer, you're a full-time novelist. And let me add to that question, when you discovered the romance novel to today, how much time passed? Because I think people are wondering, is this the kind of business or entrepreneurial opportunity that takes years to cultivate, or is it something that if I have the writing skills, I might be able to dive into and begin to build some success in a quick way?
It is quick, depending on what type of person you are. I knew going in that I wanted to make writing a full-time career, so I've read my first romance novel in 2009, which was about midway through my second year of law school, and I passed the bar in 2011. I worked as a full-time attorney up until about a year and a half ago, and now I work part-time, so I kind of say it's in the past as far as full-time work, but I still work with sole practitioner attorneys out of my house. I write legal briefs, and I do research for them and proofread their briefs and other kind of small things that don't require me to go into court anymore. That way I can work full time. And the main thing that I would say is, if anybody's interested in this entrepreneurial effort as far as being a writer, it can happen, especially in this day and age with indie publishing or self-publishing being such a huge opportunity. What you have to do, though, is you have to approach the market and say, what is selling and can I write that? And that's the research you have to do, because I think a lot of people think, oh, I can write a book, and they want to write a book, but it might be not in a genre that sells well. So you have to be ready to adjust your writing ability and think, do I want to write mystery thriller? Do I want to write some commercial fiction, you know, romance or stuff that is on the market in the airports, in the Walmart, stuff that people buy and read three or four books like that a week? That's the kind of stuff that makes money. So you have to approach it with a critical eye and say, what can I write that's going to sell and make money? And that took me about from my first book published in 2014 in January. And now I have about 25 titles out as of
25
now.
25 titles.
And I try to release 6 a year. So.
Yeah, wow. And so in saying that, and we'll get back to the books that you have, but how about using social media in your business as a romance novelist? I would think that could also meld well just to get the word out. Is that what you have to do as well?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely crucial. You know, the days of writers being in little cabins in Maine and enjoying their privacy is over. You know, I remember having a talk with my publicist, and she says, you have to take pictures of your life. Put it on Instagram. Show people what your day-to-day life is. And I remember thinking, but I'm so boring. How can you know? But what I realize is people love pictures of your pets. So my dogs are the stars of my Instagram account. And I've developed a Facebook group on Facebook where people, it's a private, you know, kind of exclusive group, and I share teasers with them. I let them know going on. I let them have inputs on my covers if I'm self-publishing a book, and I give them feedback, and I run special contests, and then they do reviews for me, and then they push me out on all of their social media accounts to share what they love. So it's really a give and take. In the romance reader community, readers are so involved with you, and they love your stories, and they care about your characters so much that they will go the extra mile if you really cultivate that relationship as a two-way street, a friendship. And it takes a lot of effort, and it, for an introvert like me, it is a little difficult, but they make it so rewarding because they love your stories so much that it's like talking to friends every day when I get on social media and interact with them.
So because of that, I would assume with the, you know, 25 plus and pounding more out books, that people must wonder, and you're writing romance, they must wonder about your love life. Do people ask you questions about that?
I think that the running joke is people, my parents are very supportive of my romance writing career, and they're very involved in the business. They're sort of like part of my entrepreneurial team. And we have friends of theirs that always come up and ask my dad and my mom jokingly, and they say, was your daughter writing this from real life experience? And my dad goes, no, definitely not. it's a running joke. I mean, they just say, no. But the trick is, you know, writing romance, all you have to do is read what other people out there have written, and you kind of can integrate the styles and what works in scenes to you. It's kind of almost, I jokingly say, it's almost scientific to write about love.
Which, of course, when you're falling in love, it's the least scientific thing in the world until you look at it biologically.
Right.
All right, we're talking with Lauren Smith. She's a romance novelist. Her website is laurensmithbooks.com. And I want to talk about your books and take kind of an interesting angle on this, Lauren, because, look, first of all, we're Forbes Books at Bedtime. So bedtime, perfect time to talk about romance novels, right? But we're also Forbes Books. And so you brought up marketing, and we're very interested in the marketing of romance novels and how you've learned that. And so one of the things I want to do is give you an opportunity to tell us about your books. For instance, you have a series called The League of Rogues. Tell us about the series and why, from a marketing perspective, writing a series of romance novels is so important.
So important because the average romance reader will read 3 to 4 books a week, and if you can get them addicted to your book
a week.
That's why it is a $2.8 billion industry in romance alone, and they prove it by reading that much.
So they go to get more books more than they go to the grocery store to get food.
Exactly.
Wow.
Kate, I think we're in the wrong business.
I know. That's incredible. Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable. Are you kidding? And what's the demographic? What's the demographic of the people who read romance novels that you know of?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Since the new adult, young adult genres, new adult being 12 to 18-year-old readers and new adult being 18 to 24-year-old readers, you've got this kind of what I call the twilight readers are aging up. The readers that were reading, you know, high school age fiction, they're in their college years now, and they are wanting more adult romances. And you're seeing a younger crowd transferring over. And so our demographic is now about between 18 and 18. Now, to be honest, we're spread that wide, with the average being in the 40s and 50s in age, but it's getting a lot younger.
So tell us about your books. If we're just hearing you for the first time and we have not discovered you at laurensmithbooks.com, which book would you recommend we get first to get started on that 3 to 4 a week?
Well, you know, that's a tough question because I'm one of the few authors that really tries to write everything under the sun. So I write historical romances, paranormal romances, contemporary romance. I do a little bit of erotic romance. But I would probably say, if you're just the average reader who hasn't been exposed to me, I would say the League of Rogues series, just because it's probably the funnest. You have these 5 guys in Regency England, and Regency England was a time period where men and women could get away with a lot, scandalous stuff. I mean, Jane Austen makes it sound very buttoned down, but that time period was pretty wild. You know, they didn't have any wars going on. They weren't fighting anybody. It was a kind of a 20-year period where they were kind of could just get into trouble socially on their own, and it was a lot of fun. And so I have these 5 men that have these very strong bonds of friendship, and they kind of get into all these little mishaps and adventures, and they fall in love along the way. And what's so captivating for my readers about that series is from the very first page of the first book, you have all 5 heroes present in the story. Even though one story focuses on one hero and one heroine, every single book in the series has all of the men and their future wives or current wives interacting. And so it's like you never have to say goodbye to those characters, and it only builds on that loyalty. I'm going to be releasing my 5th book this July, and I have fans that are absolutely raving mad. They just are desperate to get to so-and-so's story, which is book 7 or 8 down the line. You
that's
know? And
it's brilliant just that from a marketing perspective.
I love
that's
it.
Brilliant.
I love it. Lauren Smith, we are off to go and start on that series, Romance Novelist. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckenridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT, only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want to take advantage of a life-changing LASIK offer, pull over when you can, because a special opportunity is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the keyword CLEAR55 to 350350 to get the benefit of FDA-approved LASIK technology that gives the majority of patients 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. When you text CLEAR55 to 350350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just a text away. Text CLEAR55 to 350350. That's CLEAR55 to 350350.
America Tonight. And we've been talking about the Zika virus, of course, left and right here the last couple of months especially. Now we have these wild Louisiana floods, and there's been conversations about that. And what does that mean for mosquitoes? What does that mean for the potential for Zika? We saw what happened in Florida, of course, and we're watching in Texas as well. Joe Alton, tremendous. We had him on last time. It was interesting. We were talking about something else and a little bit of Zika, too, as well. We talk about disaster preparedness, and this is now one of the things you certainly have to think about. Dr. Alton, thanks so much for coming on.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Kate.
So in talking about let's talk about the Louisiana floods first. You got to figure there's mold. You got to figure there's spiders. You got to figure there's potential. And I know that they're talking about spraying for mosquitoes in Louisiana. What's the danger there?
Well, there is a quite a bit of danger there. You know that there are a lot of intruders that occur that happen to decide that their homes are not livable anymore, and your home is, and these include all sorts of critters, everything from raccoons to spiders to even things like algae and mold, and they can cause a great deal of damage, not only damage, physical damage to your home, but they can cause all sorts of different types of infections that can really gets you sick. So this is a big issue. Unfortunately, there are 9,000 claims I read that are going through for flood insurance in Louisiana and the affected areas. There are 40,000 homes affected. That means 3/4 of them probably were not covered.
Wow, boy, so that is awful to hear that, obviously. When we specifically talk about, and you and I talked about this before, the Zika outbreak, should we be more worried now than we were 6 months ago?
Well, if you live in Louisiana, I would be. Louisiana was one of the 6 warm weather states, Kate, that were being targeted as possible outbreak zones. Only one has turned out to be an official outbreak zone. That's in Miami, down where I am, actually. I actually toured the Zika zone just a couple of days ago. My dad had a business there. I worked there when I was a kid. And it is a concern. A lot of the area, although they say that it's been gentrified, is still pretty low-income housing, just like I remember it from my youth. And there's a lot of standing water.
Yeah, and the standing water is always the danger for mosquitoes in general, right?
Absolutely. They don't need a lot of standing water to breed, but and this is one of the big issues in a lot of places like Texas, Louisiana, places that have low-income urban areas where there's vacant lots, where there's trash like old tires, tin cans. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of water for a mosquito to complete its reproductive cycle.
Yeah, so really, cities, the smartest thing besides spraying that cities can do is try to do whatever to clean up those lots, right?
And they are trying to do that. The amazing thing in Houston, they're doing that at a record pace, and amazingly enough, they seem to fill up with trash again. There are some parts of Houston that, for good or bad, are I guess considered the dump.
Yeah. Then what's the danger if we've been talking about this a lot on the show, Mother Nature, and then also the potential for somebody else who might have been a firebug in Northern California. We know that they've arrested someone for arson and they feel like he did it. But in Southern California, they're not sure yet, but tens of thousands of people had to be evacuated. Boy, those fires that spread out of San Bernardino are awful, Joe. I've spent some time there. And what are the dangers for the people in Southern California with this fire jumping over the highways and stuff?
It's amazing how quickly this particular fire, which is called the Blue Cut Fire after the local trail. When I first read about it, I saw a tweet that said 5 acres burning and not under control. That was about 24 hours ago, maybe 36 hours ago at this point. And since then, gone from 5 acres to 25,000, 30,000 acres. That is ridiculous. At 4% contained, it just shows that California is simply a tinderbox with the drought and the heat that's been going on there. And, of course, the population, 90% of these kinds of wildfires are caused by human carelessness or human purposefulness.
Yeah, boy, and that's the thing. You have the weather there where they've been having such crazy warm temperatures, and you combine that with the wind, and it spells yikes, because no matter how many firefighters they have trying to smother this thing, it's just not enough because of the way it can, as I mentioned before, jump, which is just so frightening. And I guess there's a lesson in this, Doc, when they tell you for your health's sake, too, because of what you can inhale, when they tell you to evacuate, you got to evacuate. And I understand people want to save homes, but I've seen that in California. You're not going to beat the fire with your garden hose.
You know, that is absolutely right. No matter what you try to do, it is always the wisest thing, whether it's a flood warning or a wildfire warning, to get out of Dodge as soon as you hear about it. Because in this particular fire, you're probably running away from it, and it's chasing you. It's going so fast. So it's a big issue. And also, you have to realize that regardless of the amount of work do you do to try to manage the vegetation around your house, to try to fireproof your house as best as you can? I mean, there's a lot of smoke that occurs in a wildfire, and if you inhale smoke, you've got to be a Navy SEAL or an Olympic athlete to be able to continue to fight that fire. It just makes sense. Be realistic. Protect your family. Get out of Dodge.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dr. Joe Alton, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, so you heard what Dr. Alton had to say, and obviously there was a key thing that he talked about. The vacant lots in some of these areas, even if they've been regentrified, what they're doing in Houston, which is tremendous, but then how it's just trashing back up again, not good, because that leads to the problems, that leads to the mosquitoes, and it leads to, you know, ultimately what could be the terribly dangerous situation where you've got hornet's nests. So there's that, and then, as I mentioned there, we're talking about Louisiana in the beginning, the fact that you also, with the floods and with the floodwaters receding, you have a plethora of other problems, and sadly, that includes spiders and snakes. They're having already concerns about snakes, mold, everything that can attract what can be absolutely deadly. And Zika, just like West Nile, if we bounce back to that, we're talking about the mosquitoes. So anything, I just did this the other day. It is just a reminder when you're not thinking about it, how easily those mosquitoes can find exactly what they need to, you know, thrive, frankly. And those pools of water are a disaster. I mean, just a disaster. So be careful and make use it as a reminder. I'm not lecturing anyone, but just kind of use it as a reminder that, oh yeah, this water creeps up on you and you're getting rain, because we've just been smashed with that rain too in my neck of the woods. And that's the first thing I do. I look around thinking, well, I don't have anything that gathers water. And sure enough, there's like a flower pot. There's a bird bath in the back that I just completely forget about, and it gathers that water. And I know that in the past, in my neighborhood, they had West Nile. They had a mosquito infestation and thought, you know, oh gosh, West Nile. That's why we had the spraying for mosquitoes. And the one thing I could easily have done at my house and didn't realize, and those couple of things I just mentioned, is that, ooh, yeah, that water is pooling up. Because you say to yourself, well, I don't have anything that's gathering that water. But then you look around and then you realize, yeah, and you see this heartbreak in just Louisiana. I mean, the floods just adds insult to injury. There's what happens during the flood, then there's what happens when the water recedes, and then on top of that, just kind of throw this in here at the end of speaking with Dr. Altman in the beginning, is on top of that, besides the problems with critters, is the problems with looting. It becomes an opportunity for nefarious people to say, woohoo, free for all. And sadly, some of these people who are losing everything also go back to neighborhoods to find that they've been looted. Terrible. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time, but some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.